He came to the end of his days in a familiar ghost town. He had nothing left but a fierce pride, and he held his leonine old head high in a futile but proud defiance against a changing world.
Transcribed from Greenville in South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles.
His name was Huey. He walked up 8th Avenue every morning of the past 10 years, past the crumbling tenements, with the odors common to the musty buildings teeming with life, past the dirty youngsters splashing in the gutters, past the old tenement finally condemned and torn down, past the boarded-up windows of the rooms and apartments that had once housed his friends, past the run-down rooming houses with the shades drawn discreetly upon their aging vices, past the chili joint, the tattoo parlor, the pizza palace. A pause at the newsstand at the corner of 49th, and a pause for a chat with the crippled news dealer who sold the papers.
Nice morning.
Yeah, think it's going to rain, though. Can feel it in my bum leg. Where are you heading this morning?
Oh, just walking, Lenny. Just walking.
Past the big marquee jutting out from the stolid mass of Madison Square Garden with its promise of crowds and excitement. Past a gaping hole where a bulldozer dug into the rubble of an old brownstone that had housed some of his closest cronies. That was only yesterday. But in the quicksilver life of a big city, it was long, long ago.
All his life, Huey fought against moving away from the old neighborhood. He never could bring himself to realize that the old neighborhood was moving away from him. That each day the familiar streets grew emptier of the faces and sights he had known since boyhood.
It's funny, but I was out all morning, but I never saw one person I knew.
The old neighborhood ain't what it used to be. Most everybody's gone.
And now he's dead at 82. In the loneliness of a furnished room. The only one to minister to him was a man he hadn't spoken to in 16 years because of some dimly remembered petty grievance.
His last ride through the long-loved city streets was at public expense in a city ambulance. This, too, was ironic. He was an independent soul who had worked hard in life and at the end proudly scorned welfare assistance. A retired bookkeeper, he lived as best he could on a pension of $76 a month and asked for the charity of no man.
No one bothered to claim his estate. It consisted of a radio, a safety razor, one pair of bifocals, a set of false teeth, 2 subway tokens, and a frayed but carefully brushed overcoat. No one claimed his body, and before his friend from the newsstand heard of his death, his remains had been shipped to a medical center for dissection by medical students.
Oh, yes, he cares, I I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief.
In the rush and roar of the world's most exciting metropolis, the old man's lonely life went unnoticed. He was a stranger in the midst of millions, a lost soul shrinking into oblivion within a few blocks of the Great White Way. Huey was only one of many. There are thousands like him. His story is repeated in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco, in Cleveland, in the big bustling cities where life belongs to the young and eager, and a lonely death awaits the old and the forsaken. The years drop steadily from the calendar, but the months and the days and the hours drag on in a monotony of aimless wandering through the familiar streets of a busy ghost town.
Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care?
Have you ever watched them at supper time in the downtown cafeterias, spooning out life's remaining hours in dribbles of pathetic ceremony? Only the lonely know how to stretch a meal to the brink of eternity. Half an hour over the fruit juice, another half hour over soup and crackers, an hour, maybe more if the manager is in a patient mood, over the Swiss steak or chicken croquette. Then up to the counter again for a dish of Jell-O, cup of tea, glass of water, and then another half hour, holding action against the inevitability of returning to the terrifying emptiness of a rented room.
Got any record of her next of kin?
Nope.
All right, I'll have to padlock the room.
When can I rent it again?
Got to padlock it until we can try to trace the next of kin.
Last year in Manhattan, police padlocked the homes, the flats, the furnished rooms of New Yorkers who had died unattended and without known heirs. The average estate was just enough to pay funeral expenses, satisfy the back bills, and perhaps secure a headstone to mark the passage of another stranger through the crowded streets.
Medicine prolongs lives, but modern society doesn't know why. They stay on in the old neighborhood, eating lonely meals amid the clatter of crowded cafeterias, nursing their pension pennies along with their memories, waiting for a time when time will no longer be a burden. Not long ago, in one of New York's jam-packed apartment house districts, an elderly woman lay down on the tracks of an elevated railway to die.
Come on now, ma'am. Get up from the tracks.
I want to die.
Come on. Up with you. Sit over here. Now what's the trouble? Broke? You hungry? I'll help you.
I'm not broke. Here.
A bank book. Why, you've got over $10,000. Then why?
I got the money, but I don't have a friend. I don't know a soul in this entire city. Why go on living? Why? Why?
Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His His heart is touched with my grief.
On a bench in Madison Square Park, a weathered old man with snow-white hair fixed his tired eyes intently on the renovation work in progress on the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company building.
I can remember when that building went up. They called it the light that never failed. I guess that was before your time.
His double-breasted suit was a trifle threadbare, and like the too-thick knot in his tie, clearly belonged to another generation. But his khaki shirt was clean, if a bit gone at the collar, and there was a shine on his shoes and a jaunty flower in his buttonhole. He carefully folded his newspaper, lately rescued from a bus seat, and stuffed it into a side pocket as insurance against a time when there would be no one to talk to.
The lonely have a touching sense of dignity and a keen sense of economics. You see them wandering vacant-eyed down the strange new streets, uprooted from the old neighborhood in the name of progress. And then one day, you don't see them anymore.
Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the
on this program, we have often taken you to various mission fields of the world. But today, we've shown you the field in your own city, perhaps on your own city block. Whom shall I send, and who will go for me? I answered, Here am I, Lord. Send me. Were Paula Coffing, Elizabeth Edwards, Doris Harris, Everett Fruitman, John Moran, Dick Rupp, and Dayton Walker. Organ moods by Jim Martin and vocal effects by Don DeGraw. Today's script was adapted for radio by Doris Harris from an article by Hugh H. Mulligan entitled Strangers in the Midst of Millions. Miracles is directed by Laura Pratt, assisted at the controls by Corbin Tabler. Miracles is a Bob Jones University production.